All right, JT, we had Matt Underwood on the show a little bit earlier, and you were talking to Matt about the fun that they have doing their broadcast, right? Mm-hmm. So last night I had to run some late errands, had to run up to a couple of stores while the Cavaliers game was on, right? So I'm listening to it on the radio, and I was laughing out loud as Tim Alcorn and Jim Jones were talking about, and I don't mean this to be, you know, disrespectful, but they were talking, Jim was quoting a Bible verse, and it wasn't the right Bible verse, and he and Tim were talking about it, and I was thinking to myself, oh, this is great stuff, man. These two guys do a great job calling the games, and they have fun doing it. And Tim Alcorn joins us right now on the Wake 'em Way hotline. How are you, Tim?
Well, do unto those who do you under, do unto you under.
It was great. I was laughing out loud as I heard Jim trying to say that and everything. You were playing. It was priceless stuff. I love when it's natural stuff. It's live radio. That's what makes it great, Tim. And you guys do a bang-up job. And when I had listened, they were in front. Then I came home, and the Cavaliers lost last night, Tim. What happened in that fourth quarter where they were in front? Seemed like they were at least in control, and then they ended up losing by seven.
Yeah, I think Kenny and JT, and by the way, in all seriousness, thanks for having me. I love joining you guys and the folks at WHBC. I think they just ran out of gas. You know, they were going on a back-to-back, taking on a New Orleans team that's pretty good and has an elite player in Zion Williamson. Cavs were so shorthanded. Not only were they missing, you know, the three that had been missing for the last couple of weeks, and Wendler and Nance and Jared Allen. Now you don't have your starting backcourt, and the guys gave it every single ounce of energy they had. I just think in that fourth quarter, there wasn't a lot left in the tank. They only scored 15 in that final period, and it just caught up with them.
Timmy, what is the deal at Rocket Mortgage Fieldhouse? Now, yesterday it seemed as though there were some fans courtside. Have they increased the attendance numbers there?
Yes, and they're very excited about that. They are now offering courtside seats. It is not through SeatGeek, the Cavaliers' official ticketing partner, but you can contact the Cavs' ticket office and inquire into those courtside seats. And Jim and I were talking about that last night as well, and it was cool to see people down there. Now it's socially distanced, and they're in pods and the like, but yes, slowly but surely getting more people into the building, and it was really cool to see those folks sitting courtside.
So now they've got 10 home games left and 9 on the road. This team's played pretty decently at home, haven't they?
Not bad, yeah. I mean, they're hovering around the 500 mark at home, and again, for everything this ball club has been through as far as the injuries are concerned, for them to hang together and stay together the way they have not frayed. Number one is a huge credit to J.B. Bickerstaff, but number two, it's a credit to the players themselves. They've stayed with it through all the adversity. You know, I was talking earlier today with somebody about the fact that, you know, if Jared Allen and if Larry Nance Jr. can get together and play tomorrow night, boy, it'll be the first time since they've acquired Jared Allen that they're going to have their original starting five on the floor. I mean, think about that. They have had so many different combinations. So, yeah, it's a team that has really been able to show some grit and show some fight. It wasn't there Saturday night. You know, you have to be honest about that, at least in the first half and that debacle against Toronto. But for the most part, they've been in the fight throughout the season.
All right, so talk to me about this Dean Wade kid. He led the team in scoring with 21 points. I saw somewhere on social media some people referencing him as maybe Kevin Love Light. Does this kid have a legit future in the league, Tim Alcorn, or is he just playing a lot because of all the injuries and somebody still has to score when a game's being played?
No, he's got a legit future in the NBA, Kenny, and it's all credit to Dean Wade. He has worked his way into being an NBA player. And the folks down in Canton, listeners to WHBC, they may have seen him and heard about him when he was with the Charge. And that's really where he worked on his game. And then he got to camp. And again, the injury situation put him into the lineup at first. But now he's a real presence on this Cavalier roster. And I think one of the things that he does well is he's got a nice outside shot. Not that he's not willing to go down into that block and bang around down in there, but he can stroke it from outside. So, yeah, he's a legitimate NBA player, and all credit goes to him because he has really worked his tail off to get to this level.
All right, Tim Alcorn, I know you're a big Buffalo Bills fan, but I want to try to relate a story from the Cleveland Browns and compare it to the way the Cavaliers play, okay? Kenny and a lot of other people feel that the Browns play better, or basically Baker Mayfield plays better when OBJ is not on the field. Now, I look at the Cavaliers, and at times it seems as though Colin Sexton or Darius Garland, take your pick, plays better or performs better when the other one isn't playing. Any truth to that, or am I imagining this?
I don't know if I necessarily would buy into that theory. I think they're developing as a backcourt tandem. I think you can see now the true point guard role is Darius's role. Colin Sexton isn't a point guard, and I know that conversation was going on his rookie year and even in the last year somewhat. I think that debate is settled. Colin Sexton is a two guard. He's a scoring guard. And going all the way back to Kenny's first question about what happened last night in the fourth quarter, they didn't have that go-to guy like New Orleans had in Zion. And normally Colin is that go-to guy. When you need a bucket, when you need points, Colin Sexton finds a way to get a bucket or to get a couple of free throws. So I don't necessarily agree that they play better if one is not on the floor. I think they work and are working well as a backcourt tandem. I think there's still plenty of room to grow, but I think it's a backcourt that the Cavaliers are very high on.
Talking with Tim Alcorn here via the Wake 'em Way hotline, the voice of the Cavaliers. You hear him on WHBC with all the games. I listened to him and Chonesy go biblical last night during the Cavaliers 116-109 loss. I want to find out more about Kevin Love since he's returned. We keep knocking on wood, hoping that he can stay healthy. Last night, I think he had 19. I saw a couple of games ago, he went double-double, 18-11. Is he starting to round into Kevin Love form?
Yes, and he still has to get himself into true basketball shape. He had some minute restrictions when he first came back, and he has said he has to get back into basketball shape as far as conditioning is concerned. But he's looking more and more like the Kevin Love that we have seen, you know, in his previous time here in Cleveland. He's a huge veteran presence. Guys, he made some passes last night that you just don't normally see. And Kevin's an outstanding wing passer. And he's that classic guy that makes everybody around him just a little bit better. So he is getting back to the level that we expect from Kevin Love when he takes the floor, and his veteran leadership, along with that of Dele. I'll tell you what, sometimes you underestimate Dele. He's not going to be a score sheet stuffer. He's not going to have numbers all across the board. But again, that veteran leadership that just knows where everybody needs to be and knows how to distribute the basketball, the return of those two has been huge.
All right, what about the rookie, Isaac Okoro, and how has his season gone? Are we seeing progress, Tim, from day one to where we are now?
Absolutely, you're seeing progress, and especially at the offensive end of the floor. I think, you know, the first half, I would say, of the season, the Cavaliers were really intent on getting Isaac Okoro comfortable at the defensive end of the floor. I mean, he was NBA-ready defensively was the word when he came out in the draft. And, boy, the Cavaliers just matched him up game after game against the other team's best offensive performer. He was taking on Kawhi. He was taking on LeBron. He was taking on Giannis. And so his offensive game, which needed work to begin with, kind of just stood still. And then JB, to his credit, finally went to Isaac and said, listen, we know you can play offensively and we want you to get more involved offensively, so be more assertive. And he's done that, I would say, in the last 6 to 10 ball games, where he's taken it upon himself to shoot the ball. He's taken it upon himself to go aggressively to the basket. So Yeah, I think there's definitely been improvement from Isaac Okoro, especially in the last 3 to 4 weeks.
Timmy, we mentioned the remainder of the season, and I'm looking at it. 13 games versus playoff or play-in teams, 2 games each against Charlotte, Chicago, and Dallas, 3 games versus Washington, to name some of those games coming back. What do you expect to learn from this team in this stretch run? Should they be a play-in team, or should they simply, you know, I don't want to say, you know, wait for see if they can qualify to be that lottery team or whatever, but what do you expect?
JT, it's interesting you asked that, because I asked J.B. Bickerstaff that question last night in his pregame Zoom. The loss to Toronto on Saturday night was one of those two-game swings where they would have overtaken Toronto and moved into that 11th spot if they had beaten the Raptors. Now, that didn't happen, so they're now a game and a half behind Toronto as far as the number 11 spot, and 3 games behind Chicago for that 10th play-in spot. And J.B. answered the question by saying, listen, these guys are competitors. Because I asked him if that 10 spot is something that's on their radar. Did they talk about that? Said, hey, let's get to that play-in game. And he said the guys are competitors. They have talked about it. I mean, sure, he used the coach's mantra one game at a time. But I think they would like to get to that 10 spot, to play some pressure basketball in late April and into May. I think it would be good for these young guys. Not that they're not playing hard and not that they're not competing, but when you're playing basketball games, realizing that a playoff berth is on the line or a push for the playoffs is on the line, that's a different mental approach to a game, and it's something that these guys haven't experienced as of yet. So I think it would be good for them as far as a maturation and a growth process is concerned.
Tim Alcorn is our guest right now. We're breaking down the Cavs a little bit. Timmy, you think about not being invited into the bubble last year and how young this team is right now. How much do you feel that that affected the growth of this franchise?
Well, I think it affected their offseason insofar as, and JB's quote was, next time there's a party, we want to be invited. They used it as fuel. They used it as an incentive to say, let's get better and let's make sure we're not left out next time. And that's part of the reason I asked JB that question last night in the pregame presser, because I think they feel as though they're on an upward ascension. You've got 19 wins, and everybody says, well, that's not a lot of wins. Well, it matches last year, and it matches the year before, so you've got 19 wins with 19 games remaining, so they're certainly going to surpass last year, and I think they want to be close to those playoffs, and they want to be at least on the cusp of a play-in game. So I don't know if it stunted their growth. I think it's more incentivized them to get better and be in the hunt for the playoffs so that they're not left out of the party, to paraphrase JB.
All right, Tim Alcorn, they are 19-34, so they're not where they wanted to be this year, right? So where is the area they need to improve in the offseason? Because it looks like there's a good potential they'll be a lottery team, and this is supposed to be an outstanding draft coming up this year.
Well, I'm not Kobe, and as I always say, I'm not on his speed dial, so he's not asking me for advice. But, you know, as you sit and watch the team, you'd really like to see that outside wing threat that can consistently knock down a three ball. I think right. That would really open things up. Now, the dilemma is, Ken, that, you know, they haven't had the games with the full complement. So these 19 games, if you have Jared Allen, if you have Larry Nance, hopefully even Dylan Windler, plus the guys that they have now brought in, now you're going to be able to see this roster as it is. But I think looking at it right now, as of today, I think, boy, if you could add somebody on the wing who could really knock down that long ball and open up that offense, I think that would be a huge benefit.
Well, Tim, that's something that's been missing all season long, and I know you don't want to speak for Kobe, but he's thinking the same thing, because they're shooting 33% as a team, I think it is, for the year. So that is an area of weakness. So that's not a surprise to me. I thought that was the area as well. And it'll be interesting to see if they, you know, there's a couple of G League kids that are good. There are a number of kids in college that were, you know, outstanding. And Cade Cunningham is supposed to be the number one overall pick. But if I'm hoping and this is what's bothered me the last few years. They see, without winning the number one pick, Tim Elkhorn, they seem to just be one pick away maybe from getting that true impact player. You know what I mean? And so I'm hoping that this year they end up in a spot where they will get one of those immediate plug-and-play starters at whatever position it is.
Well, they have several of the pieces. I know the last time I joined you guys, we talked about that core nucleus that they're building
right.
with. And, you know, when you look at Jared and you look at Colin and Garland and you look at Isaac Okoro, I mean, those are some terrific core pieces. And, yes, they have to add to those. And as we just talked about, that guy that can really consistently knock down a long ball would be a huge benefit. But they're not that far away. They really aren't. And so this will be a big off season. But, hey, we've got 19 games, hopefully maybe right. even a couple of more before we talk about the Cavs off season.
Well, the thing is, you know, you look at this and I know, Kenny, I know exactly what direction you're going in. You need that all-star player to be someone that's going to come from the draft, because it seems as though you're never going to be able to sign somebody to get this team to perform the way that other teams in the league do. And when I think of the other teams in the league, I think of a team like the Phoenix Suns that was really bad. And up until maybe last year, maybe the year before that, they were right around, you know, the Cavaliers at 19-63, just as short a time ago as 2018, 2019. And they get better the following year and win 34 games. And now they're 37-15. My question is this, Tim. If you're at 19 wins now and you had 19 victories all of last season before the pandemic hit, is this enough growth to really get fans excited about the rebuild and these young guys? At some point in time, something's going to have to give, and you're going to have to be better than maybe three or four games better record-wise in order for them to buy into the rebuild.
Well, I think that's a legitimate point, JT. I'm not saying that they're on the cusp of winning a championship, but I do think the growth is there. I think when you look at Jared Allen and the potential that young man has, I think Kobe pulled off a tremendous trade there, and we didn't even talk about what Torian Prince has done in the last couple of weeks. I mean, he's been dynamic off the bench. So there are different pieces, but I will agree with you. Yes, you have to have a difference maker type of player to reach an elite level. And so will that come from the draft? Will that come from a trade? You know, that remains to be seen. That's why Kobe's sitting in his office, and I'm up in the Joe Staples.
You get in that office, Tim.
Get in there. Break that door down.
We want an all-star on this team, darn it. And we're tired of winning 18, 19 games a year. We want a winner.
I need you to tell me who the most recent player is that the Cavaliers signed to a 10-day contract. How the hell do you pronounce his name, Mr. Play-by-Play announcer?
Cabangeli. So he was the first round draft pick a couple of years ago, and then spent some time out in L.A. with the Clippers. And he's pretty raw, but he's got a lot of potential. He's the nephew of Dikembe Mutombo.
All right, what's the first
Not
name
in
now?
My
How
house.
Do you say that?
No. No, Tim Elkhorn. Not today.
You and I were talking about that last night as well, Kenny. You may have missed that.
I did miss that part.
Would anybody want an uncle shaking their fingers that way? But Fiondu Cabangeli is how you pronounce the name.
Fiondu Cabangeli. I'm going to be listening just to hear you have to say that in the game on both ends of the floor when he makes a steal at one end and then has to finish at the other end. Fiondu Cabangeli. I can't wait to hear that from Tim Elkhorn.
Well, if you're hearing a steal and a dunk, I'll put some excitement into it. I'll say that.
There's no question about that. Tim, thanks for making time for us, as always. We appreciate it. We'll talk again before the season's over. Keep up the great work, you and Jonesy. And God bless you both, my friend.
Right.
How's that?
Well, thank you, guys. Always enjoy being with you, and it's always a blast. This is a good time.
Do unto others as others, well, you know the rest of it.
Do I have time to give him one quick trivia question?
Yeah, go ahead.
All right, Tim Elkhorn, trivia question. Today's date in 1978, Aretha Franklin was married. Can you tell me what band performed at her reception? It was a Motown act.
Well, I'd say either the Temps or the Four Tops.
You got to pick one of
correct.
Them. No, he's not correct. Pick one of them, Tim.
Yeah.
Well, since I was going to go see Ain't Too Proud to Beg with Jim Jones on Broadway, I'll go with the Temps.
You would be wrong. It was the Four Tops. Come on, Tim.
Ah.
You're never getting in that front office now.
Yeah. Sugar pie, honey bun.
There you go. It's no Tootsie, but it is the Four Tops and the Temps. They're outstanding, and Jonesy loved either one of those. They're definite on that. Hey, Tim, thanks again for coming on. We'll talk to you again soon. Be well, my friend.
All righty, guys. Thanks.